Star Blade stood before a transmitter and thought about death. He was very close to it. Garrett stood 5 yards away, a gun in his hand and the muzzle trained on Blade's chest. The gun was the universally used weapon of execution, an old projectile-firing weapon. Star did not doubt that Devil Garrett was an excellent shot with it. The girl, very round-eyed and nervous, sat by Garrett. He had explained to her that Garrett was the type of pirate that it is law to kill or have executed by anyone, which was very true. A man stepped away from the transmitter and nodded to Garrett. Star felt a surge of hope as he saw that it was a two-way transmitter. If the image of an interstellar command headquarters was tuned in, Garrett would undoubtedly do it, if only to show the police that he had killed Starrett Blade. Then Garrett could not kill him and cut the beam in time to prevent one of the police from giving a cry that would echo over the subspace beam arriving almost instantly in this room, and let the girl know that she had been tricked. And Garrett would not want that. Not that it would matter to Starrett Blade. Then Star saw what kind of transmitter it was, and he groaned. It was not a Heinsohn subspace beamer. It was an old-style transmitter, which had different wave speeds because of the different space bridger units in it. The visual image would arrive many seconds before the sound did. Thus the girl would not hear Garrett revealed, but would see only Blade's death. And then, whatever Garrett had planned, Blade wished heartily that he could have the chance to interfere. The beam was coming in. Star saw the mist swimming on the screen change, solidify into a figure. The figure of District Commander Weddell, seated at a desk. He saw Weddell's eyebrows rise, saw his lips move. Then Garrett stepped over a pace, and Weddell saw him, saw the gun in his hand. The police officer yelled silently and came to his feet, an expression of shocked surprise on his face. Surprise, Blade thought desperately, that the girl might interpret as shock at seeing Devil Garrett. Which was right, in a way. Then, as Commander Weddell leapt to his feet, as Devil Garrett's finger tightened on the trigger, as the girl sucked in her breath involuntarily, Star Blade scooped up a bit of metal, a fork, and flung it at the vision transmitter. Not at the screen, but at the equipment behind the dial board, at a certain small unit which was almost covered by wires and braces for the large tubes. And the fork struck it, bit deep, and caused result. Result in the form of a burned-out set. If television equipment can curse, that set cursed them. Its spitting of sparks and blue electric flame mingled with a strange, high-pitched whine. It was the diversion that caused Garrett to miss Star, which gave him time to pull 3 or 4 of Garrett's men onto the floor with him. One of the men drove the butt of a jet gun into the side of Star's head, and for the third time he went very limp. The last thing he saw was the girl. Somehow, the expression on her face was different from what it had been. He was searching for the difference when the blow struck him. Somewhere in the space that lies between consciousness and unconsciousness, he reflected bitterly that if he kept staring at the girl when he should be fighting, he might not recover someday. This was the third time that he had been knocked out that way. It was not getting monotonous, he still felt it a novelty. Star awoke in the same prison cell, facing the wall away from the door. He wondered if he were still alive, tried to move his head, and decided that he wasn't. He didn't even get up or look around when he dimly heard the door being opened. But when he heard the girl's voice, he came up and around very swiftly, despite his head. It was the girl, all right. Even through the tumbled mists of his brain, he could see that she was not a dream. And as he reeled and fell against the wall, she was beside him in a flash, her arm supporting him. At first he tried to push himself erect, his head whirling with sick dizziness and bewilderment. Through a twisting haze, he peered up at the girl's face. It reflected a look that, amazingly, was one of, with no other phrase to do, compassion. Star half sighed and laid his head on the girl's breast and closed his eyes. In a minute or two, she said tensely, "Are you all right?" Star looked up at her. "I guess so. Here, give a hand while I get my balance." She held him as he tried a step or two, and then he straightened. "I guess I'll be all right now," he smiled. "My head feels like..." "Say, how come you're doing this? What made you change your mind? And who are you?" She said quickly, breathlessly, "I know your Starblade now. That transmission set, I can read lips. I knew what the officer was saying. It was just as if I had heard him say that you were Starrett Blade, and that man out there is Devil Garrett." She made a choking sound. "And I've been here alone for a month, for a month." "A month? Huh? Please? You?" Star took a breath and started over. "You? Who are you? What are you doing here?" She said, "I'm Ann Hinton. My father is old John Hinton. Have you heard of him?" "Of course," said Star. "He manufactures most of the equipment Blade Cosmian uses. Weapons, Heinsohn subspacers, Star Traveller craft. The ship I was brought in when Garrett brought me down was a Hinton craft. I should have recognized the name. But go on. What?" "Garrett communicated with Dad secretly. He posed as Starrett Blade, as you, and told Dad that he was developing certain new power processes. And he is. He has a new, or maybe it isn't so new, way of electrolyzing water to liberate hydrogen and oxygen." "I think I understand," said Star quickly. "When the oxygen and hydrogen are allowed to combine and produce an explosion which drive a turbine generator, then that could be hitched up to a cyclotron, and even the most barren of Alpha's lake rock planets could be..." "No," she shook her head puzzledly. "It's just electric power. He said that atomics would release stray rays that would attract pirates." "I know," Star nodded abstractedly. "I was thinking of another application of it." But say, what was Garrett after? I know that he wouldn't do this just to get a secret process sold. He must have had another plan behind it. Got any idea?" Anne shook her head slowly. "I don't know. I can't see..."
"Perhaps I could help you," Devil Garrett asked smoothly from the door.
Star whirled, thrust Anne behind him, but there was no way out. Garrett stood in the door, and there were men behind him. The jet in his hand could kill both of the two with one shot, and they had no weapons to resist with.